Schools are closing to prevent COVID-19 from spreading, but can tech keep classrooms going? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. If you're a parent in a state hit by the new coronavirus, you might have gotten an email like the one I got last week. It said the school district is considering closing schools, either to clean them or to control the spread of the virus. Worldwide, some 300 million children are out of school. Some schools in Seattle and the San Francisco Bay Area have closed, and some districts are hoping that remote learning can fill the gap. In some places, virtual classrooms with video and animations and group chat already exist, but in others, not at all. John Watson is founder of the Evergreen Education Group, which conducts research on K-12 digital learning. I asked him if American schools are ready for long-term virtual learning.
I honestly don't know. And I think the more interesting answer to that question is I'm not sure that anybody really knows. And the reason I say that is because there's different elements in terms of preparation for school closings. You need to understand how many students have access to devices, which may or may not be supplied by the school. You need to understand whether students have internet access at home or if they have other places that they're able to get to as well. And then even more so, you need to understand whether the teachers have some level of comfort with teaching online.
Right. I would imagine digital divide must play into this in a huge way. Kids have to have access to devices and internet to take advantage of these tools if they're rolled out, right?
Equity and access is probably the single biggest challenge that a school has to think about in this situation. And in particular, when you're talking about a school closure because of a coronavirus concern, you can't necessarily have those students going to a public library, let's say, to access computers there or to a coffee shop to get online there if they have a computer but not internet access at home. There are some schools. They've arranged hotspots for students. They have arranged some places that those students would be able to go. It's still a challenge to think about doing this at this kind of scale and this time type of time frame that they're thinking about.
Right. You went exactly where I was going, which is sort of if widespread school closures happen and they happen for a long time, do you think it's realistic, you know, in smaller districts or bigger districts or nationwide that we'll be able to maintain the sort of the same level of education?
This may not be a very satisfying answer, but I know of districts that have invested enough in thinking about online learning that they will be able to make this shift and do so fairly successfully. And I know of districts that undoubtedly won't be able to make that shift. What I don't know is what percentage of districts fall into each of those categories. And we unfortunately may be on the brink of an unplanned experiment in how prepared districts are.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, is it an opportunity or is it fair to say it's a little past due for schools to do this? You know, my 13-year-old was homesick yesterday and I thought, I'm surprised that there's no, I don't know, just always on conference line for him to dial into to the classroom.
It's an opportunity because I think this is showing schools that there's a need. And I should be clear about this. There are plenty of schools, including plenty of brick and mortar schools that are engaging in online instruction in some form. This is a little bit different if you're trying to shift the large majority or 100% of instruction online. I do think that there's going to be an increased number of school leaders who coming out of this will understand a bit more about what the options are and also a little bit more about what the challenges are as well. When I see some stories about school closures and the opportunity to use online learning, some of them are a bit shallow. They focus on the tools solely, and there's no question that the tools exist. The challenges are around making sure teachers are prepared to teach online and also making sure students and parents and families are prepared to learn online as well.
Right. I would imagine there must be companies who are offering these types of services who potentially stand to benefit?
There's no doubt that the companies that are involved in online learning will have some opportunities. And part of the reason for that is simply, as we're talking about, this issue is raising awareness about the possibilities of online learning among students, parents, educators. They, I think, are now understanding how much online learning, how many tools and resources are readily available. Having said that, it's also a challenging situation because the challenges are not so much around the tools and the content as much as they are around changing the way that teaching is done and changing student and parent expectations. And there's not a silver bullet for being able to do that. The smart companies that know this, they're handling the messaging well, and we're seeing that already, that they're talking about what they're capable of and not overselling what they're capable of. I am a little bit worried about the possibility that some companies may take advantage of the lack of understanding and oversell what they're capable of. I think there's undoubtedly a level of buyer beware in terms of being careful about going with the companies that are being a bit more measured in what they're saying they can do and being really careful about any that say they can handle this 100%. I think it's a bit more challenging than that.
John Watson is founder of the Evergreen Education Group. That experiment begins in Bothell, Washington, where students from 36 schools begin online education today. And now for some related links. You can read a letter from the superintendent at the Bothell School District over at marketplacetech.org. That town is located near the epicenter of Washington's COVID-19 outbreak. Los Angeles is also telling parents to prepare for possible school closing, as is New Jersey. Education Week had a post last week about how most schools will not be prepared for remote learning if they have to close for a long period of time. And an update. Last week, we talked about telemedicine and how companies and public health groups were asking for loosened restrictions on signing up for and getting reimbursed by Medicare for telehealth services. Well, in fact, that is part of the $8 billion coronavirus package passed by Congress and signed by the president last week. More reading on that also on our website. And here's what else we're watching in tech. The biggest thing we're no longer watching is whether South by Southwest will be canceled. It has been. Organizers had been defiant in insisting that it would go on, but said the city of Austin made the call and the conference had to go with it. Tech companies in Seattle and the Bay Area are continuing to either order their employees to work from home or give them the option. That list now includes Apple as of Friday. Microsoft, Google, Twitter, and Amazon and Facebook all said they plan to pay the wages of their hourly workers, even if they have reduced or no hours because of campus closures or working from home. Microsoft led that charge and the other companies followed soon after, which I gotta say is real leadership. In prepper news, eBay on Friday banned all new listings for face masks, hand sanitizer, and disinfecting wipes. Because anybody who is listing that stuff now, all of a sudden, is just trying to make a buck and should maybe be banned from humanity. Oh, also, in the midst of everything else, on Friday came a story that said Amazon is working on a secret skunkworks project to try to cure the common cold. Which, okay, why not? I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Calling all Marketplace superfans, it's your last chance to get our new Marketplace t-shirt with your donation of just $30. Whether you're giving for the first time or renewing your support, this is a deal you don't want to miss, and it ends this week. Head over to marketplace.org to get your shirt as a special gift with your donation today, and thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.